Well, after talking to dads last week and the radio broadcast, I promised then that I would talk about great mothers today. I want to read from Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 12. Listen carefully. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, and so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Well, dear friend, a godly woman is a treasure and one-of-a-kind blessing from the Lord. She can be a thing of great beauty far beyond external features if she is wise and spiritual in her use of life. She can grow up through womanhood into motherhood if she follows the commands of the one who created life and ordained the family. A godly mother's to be praised and treasured and given credit for her labors in her family. Once she is a born-again child of God, she is ready to follow some directions from God. And here they are. She must be, first of all, a God-fearing woman. Proverbs 31:30 says, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Well, the salvation of her soul is the greatest beginning for being the great woman. Your personal relationship to Christ will shape you to do as wife and mother what you ought to do. A godly fear will strengthen you in all the decisions and you will have to make in your family and around the neighborhood. Secondly, reverence for your husband. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A good word of translation for the word reverence in this verse is submission. There are a million jokes and comments through the ages that have been made as to who is the head of the family. Right now, my wife just had a pacemaker put in, and Barry, my evangelist son's wife, is here with us helping. And so both of them are keeping this evangelist under control, and I joke about it being a two-woman household controlling me. But another couple of weeks, that'll come to the end. The Bible also designates the male as the final word for the family, but that does not mean that we men are to act as family dictators, but rather responsible leaders. In days gone by, the old saying was, men should wear the pants in the family. Oh boy, I better not touch that one. Now daily, disobedient mothers wear the pants, literally. But factually, your husband is to be the leader of your clan. Mother, your children must see that you respect your husband with great love and obedience. A strong husband who leads righteously is to be loved and honored by the wife and mother of his children. The third thought I must leave for you ladies' hearts is, be a virtuous, modest woman. We read in Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. Certainly, when wedding bells are about to ring, you will be glad you were the moral, pure teen that waited for marriage. No wise husband wants a second-hand woman who will morally fail in their relationship. The Bible teaches marriage ought to be for life. One man, one woman. Forget all this turning away from each other, all the abortion, terrible tragedy, and all the rest. Never should be in the will of Almighty God. Avoid the things that will tempt wrong thinking, like immoral suggestive TV programming and relationships with other men. Remember, dear wife, you are to be a virtuous, modest, godly woman. As I traveled many years as an evangelist, one day one of our church member women said, don't you worry about your husband, who is so very handsome. That was a while ago. But don't you worry about your husband making up to some other woman. And my wife said, I know his heart, I know his desire to serve God. I know his relationship to me. It never even crosses my mind. I thought that was so neat. Remember, wives, you are his until death do us part. The fourth thing a wife ought to be is a willing worker. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Being a good housewife and mother is not an easy job, but a very rewarding when it's done with love for your family and for the Lord. Hey, ladies, shun the sloppy, who cares attitude of so many women today, and show your dedication as a mother to your children and husband. Make your actions and labors be crucial to the family. Beware griping and complaint and laziness. Be more willing to be happier in the home that you have. Cultivate the love of your entire family by your labors of love. And that brings up number five. Love your family. Titus 2:4-5. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, and obedient to their own husbands. Actually, my lady friend listening, your family is your greatest earthly possession. Did you hear me? Your family is your greatest earthly possession. Don't allow your responsibilities to become a cross to bear, but let it be a joy to share. Shower your husband with love and bathe your children with daily affection. Don't nag and fuss at them, but with understanding help your family to be one in Christ. My sixth thought in the brief message today for you mothers to grab a hold of is to care for your home. If you refer back to verse 5 of Titus, you are told to be a keeper of the home. Don't grumble over the load of daily tasks that seem to be so endlessly requiring your attention. Do them as unto the Lord, and teach your whole family to divide up tasks that are required of all the family. Have you heard the phrase, cleanliness is next to godliness? Well, I'll tell you, it's important for you moms to do the most with cleanliness in your home. Often health and the well-being of your family is something that points directly to a wife and to a mother. And then I want to urge you to provide good meals. That's a seventh thought that I have for you today, mothers. I'm reading in Proverbs 31:15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Ah, yes, the health and well-being of your family depends on what you serve them. Be sure the food is good for them, good for nourishment. Arrange enjoyable times around the family table. Don't run a cafeteria or treat them like a Greek god and serve them burnt offerings. You can laugh now. A husband or child should revel in mom's cooking. Number 8, major in strength and steadfastness. Proverbs 31:17-18 says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. A great wife and mother has the ability to keep on and on and on. Home tasks are to be done in such a way her labors can be said to be good. Beds need to be made and cleaning is always needed and dishes will always need to be washed. There, don't let those things weigh you down, but share it with the family all you can. Don't be a frail TV addict, but as busy as a beaver promoter and investor in your own wonderful and happy home. And then, Mother, you have another one, and we guys couldn't argue about this one. Care for the clothes in the family. In Proverbs 31:21-22, she's not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Doesn't say anything about blue jeans, does it? Well, my. Well, anyway, I'll guarantee it is not urging the family to live in a sloppy way with holes and patches. How you dress your family is a testimony to its true character. I feel sorry for teenage girls who've been allowed to dress like garage mechanics instead of ladies. Oh, don't down-dress your family, but dress them up as a lovely wife and mother, and show them by your example, particularly when you go to all of the services of the church. That includes Sunday night and prayer meeting. Call me old-fashioned if you like, but your family is rightfully judged by what you wear and the neatness of the apparel of your whole family. Clean and neat clothing gives testimony of an obedient soul and a happy, well-adjusted family. Then number 10, have patience and long-suffering. You can do it. Yes, you can. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This for my lifetime has been a verse to challenge me in every area. How about you? Whatever the home task you face, the ability to do it well comes from God. Sometimes exhaustion or physical weakness competes in your day's activities, but keep on mothering, won't you, dear, with patience. Number 11, use careful, discreet speech. Proverbs 31:26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. How you address your husband and children is crucial to a happy home. A griping, unhappy attitude will foment words of anger and discouragement for the whole family to pick up. When correction is needed, do it with wisdom and kindness. But remember, don't be a nagging, complaining kind of a person that brings grave danger to happy living and accomplishes little. Your kids will pick up your attitude and speech, so sprinkle your words with grace. Now I have one more. Faithfulness toward the church. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Your whole family needs to claim a pew at church, excuse me, and be together in every service. This must be a family statement, a dedication of your family to things that count. Earthly pursuits must not deter your family from attending every service. And then, lastly, live for eternity. I'm reading from Colossians 3:1-2. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things of the earth. Oh, beloved mothers, make every action of your family be those that count for eternity. Your daughters particularly are learning from you how to be the kind of a woman that would honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Even your sons are using your life as a mother and how you treat the family to give them thoughts of what kind of a woman they should be looking for when the day of marriage comes to be. Oh, dear friend, the home. What did I say last week? I said your home is the only thing you can take to heaven with you. And it's so very true. So many dear women today don't take time to make their home be something that counts for eternity. So many people today have already become victims of adultery and immorality and loose living as teens, which puts you into the family relationship with a lot of bad ideas that have been dangerous. Oh, just remember, your family is the best thing you can take to heaven with you. And I pray, Lord, for the families and the mothers that have listened, in Jesus' name, amen.